council meeting. I'd like to ask everyone to silence the phone before we begin. We have a great crowd here tonight. We will be presiding closely to the rules of engagement for town council meeting as possible, meaning that if you expect to speak, make sure you've signed in on the comment sheet. And for the town council, be recognized before you speak. And we're going to keep everything decent and in order and move along tonight. We'll begin with pledge allegiance to the flag and invocation prayer. If there's anyone here that do not wish to participate in either, you can step outside until we complete both, and then we have also bring you back in. We're going to stand now for the pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight and ask for guidance tonight as we do the town's business. Lord, we yield our will to your will so that we can accomplish all that you would have us to do as council here in the town and accomplish all that you would have us to do. Lord, we ask for safe passage for those who have come and for those that will be leaving. We ask for everybody to make it home safely. We ask all of these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Watch, would you bring a cup of comment sheet?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, thank you. Dr. Derek Brown to do a presentation tonight.
He's in traffic right now. I am Allison Jordan, the executive director of Iron Lives, and Derek may come in just a few minutes. I think he's caught up in the traffic associated with the accident. Council, thank you for letting us speak to you tonight. If Derek were here, he would say all of the great history about Iron Lives. Iron Lives started in 2000.
That's so sorry.
It's okay.
We are trying desperately to get the YouTube stream working. There's challenges, so that's why you're...
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like Siri.
No, it was not.
Iron Lives started in Amherst County High School in 2009. So we are turning 15 this year. So Iron Lives is a teenager, and we work with teenagers. So it started with a relatively small meeting with 9 young men, and it has blossomed for 15 years. We have more than 3,000 alumni in a network around here and nationally. And the 5K has happened more than a dozen years, and it's always happened through the town of Amherst. So we're coming to you tonight to ask for permission on Sunday, May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo of 2024, to hold the Iron Lives 5K, the traditional route. We will notify everyone who is impacted along the route. Last year was my first time being associated with the 5K because it was the first time we had done it post-COVID. And I think we say that the road is closed for about an hour, but it was less than that. So it's an inconvenience for about an hour for folks along the route on a Sunday afternoon. I am really pleased that we have what we call the Show Up Amherst partnership with Iron Lives, the Amherst School Division, and the Education Foundation. So you've probably seen hashtag Show Up. We're having a community dinner in a few weeks, and the Show Up Amherst partnership wants to be a part of the Iron Lives 5K this spring, so we hope to make it a larger event to focus on family and fitness and self-care. So I'm excited to see that more organizations are backing that. I've talked to Dr. Wells and Mr. Crawford about construction at the high school, so I think we're okay with our route, but if we need to alter something, we could always alter where we start and finish if the building construction impacts that. Any questions? Anybody want to run it? Yes, that would be great.
I just want to note it for the record, Mr. Vice Mayor, that I participated again last year in the 5K, and what's really important is that I beat my husband.
That was really important.
That was really important. That was really the only thing that mattered to me.
We're very proud about Iron Lives, and we're thankful for what you do. Yes.
Thank you. Sometimes we can't believe it's work. It's pretty fun.
Yeah, I'm going to ask the council to approve the motion.
I'll make the motion. Sir.
I'll second.
And motion and second. Okay.
Thank you.
Any comments?
I don't have any.
No. Vote?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
We're now open to our public hearing on the comprehensive plan amendment to the Ambler Farm.
Okay. Would you like me to give a summary of that, Ms. President?
Please.
So last meeting, council asked staff to set a public hearing to consider a comprehensive plan amendment to take the Ambler Farm property back to its previous land use on the comprehensive plan. At this point, what staff would say is that we events have really overtaken this. The county has accepted the conservation easement donation. So that is really, at this point, completed. However, since you have advertised a public hearing, staff would recommend that you continue to hold it, and then council can handle that how they see fit. You should have a sheet here. Is this the public hearing one, or is this the comment?
Public hearing.
Okay, yes. So.
Mr. Paul Gill Kilgore.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, thank you for this opportunity, but I'll be honest with you. You know my passion for the use of this property for the community, especially with you. And I feel like there's probably people here that can say more eloquently than I, so I'll defer to them tonight. Thank you. I hope you choose not to change anything. Thank you.
I'm scribbling, so you know how it is. Mark Popovich, I work for Dean Wardell, a firm out of Salem, Virginia. I'm the acting county attorney for Pinehurst County. I did want to come here and officially inform you all of the decision by the Board of Supervisors to accept the conservation easement. And the Board of Supervisors asked me to be here specifically to request that you not change the comprehensive plan from what its current status for that particular parcel. It is the Board of Supervisors' intention to utilize it specifically for recreation, educational, and agricultural purposes, hopefully with cooperation with the town as well as with the school board to try and make it a win-win for everybody in Amherst County and the town of Amherst.
Anyone else like to speak?
This is the one for the public hearing, so if you intended to sign up for that one, this would be the time.
I wanted to speak on the zoning thing, right?
That's pretty much what this is.
Yeah. Thank you.
Angela Sundar-Murthy, 134 2nd Street. I only heard about this about an hour ago, so forgive me for any of my ignorant comments that I might know, because I have no understanding of, except for what I have just read within the last hour. Let's see. So I'm looking at the agenda here. It's not rotating. Come on, I can't see it. I'm blind. Okay. So yes, it says whether to keep what's already there or change it. If the council's concern with the conservation easement is that there should be no conservation easement in this location, no matter who holds it, versus if it's the council's concern is that they did want the town to hold an easement. I don't want to come off, I always say this, whatever. With all due respect, it has not been evident to the community that the council's concerns have represented what the community's concerns have been. When the community comes out en masse for one thing and the council goes with a minuscule side of it for whatever reason, I really believe the council has, over the past year, not been representing the community in certain hot topics. So in this case, whether or not people agree with the easement or not, the people wanted it. Whether the council agreed or not, the people wanted that park. And so I also advise that nothing be changed and that there is an easement there for that park.
Okay. At this time, I'll close the public hearing and ask the council for a motion to adopt or need to discuss.
I'll make that motion.
So, to be clear, you are moving to adopt the resolution that was included in your packet.
I am.
That would change the comprehensive plan back to commercial.
Correct.
I'll second it.
Do we need to play hopscotch with this? At this time, I'd like to give the council a chance to discuss it. And we'll start with you, Ms. Newton.
Before casting my vote, whether it's on this subject or others, I base my decision on the opinions of our town's constituents and the information I received during public council meetings. In addition, I consider information given to me during private closed session, which the community is not privy to. Thank you.
Mr. Watts.
Well, my position's been pretty clear as far as the park goes, so I would ask the council not to amend the comprehensive plan.
Mr.
Driscoll?
I think it should stay as it is. To allow the easement, to allow the use as we amended it last time.
Okay, first off, I have a question for Ms. McGuffin, if that's allowed.
Yes.
I'm a little confused on why we're so upset about doing this. It is my understanding that Mr. Kilgore has gotten his easement, that the Board of Supervisors is going to hold that easement. So he gets his tax credits, and I'm going to look at you because you're an attorney, so keep shaking your head. If I'm not right, then shake your head no. That's good. So that's right. So for this situation, I feel like it's a win-win-win. I believe that Mr. Kilgore is going to get his easement, and he's going to get his tax credits. The county is going to hold that easement, and there is an easement and a recorded easement already in on the county courthouse, and it's correct. Already been established.
Correct.
So there's no question that there isn't going to be an easement or a park. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So the third win is that this would allow the town council to go back to the original plan. I believe that that is correct, and that allows it to be a win-win-win for every one of us. In that, you get the 22 acres, you get the easement, you get the park, but it will allow all the other land around it to stay B2 with no more easements and no more conservation easements of any kind. Am I correct in allowing that that's what this would do?
Well, the other property wasn't changed other than this one. So the only property that we changed the comprehensive plan for was this property.
Right, and so that easement is a done deal. There's no question that that easement is going to move forward. Is there any question that that easement is not going to move forward?
No, the easement is completed. The only issue before town council, as I understand it, is for that particular 22 acres, you were going to be reverting back to your previous comprehensive plan that had that designated as commercial area. That 22 acres now, because of that conservation easement, can no longer be used for commercial at all. It can only be used for recreation, agricultural, educational purposes. So there's no point in going back to the comprehensive plan as it was previously. Because if you go back and you try and indicate it now as commercial, that's fine, but there'll never be commercial there. It's just, it'll never happen.
So my reasoning for motioning this and for moving this forward to go back to the original comprehensive plan is the example of Winton Country Club. So Winton Country Club was owned by the county, and 50 some odd years later, they chose to sell it, and it is now no longer owned by the county.
The only difference.
I understand the difference of, I understand that it is bound, that it cannot be anything else ever than a park, ever, until such time that it changes or doesn't change. There are too many factors involved that it could very well change in the future that we know not of. I do not believe that I ever thought that Winton Country Club would not be the original Winton Country Club that was there before. But yet it is. I would have never thought that Sweetbriar College would have closed or even attempted to be closed. So there are examples of things that have happened in the future that we don't understand today. And I would like to put it back in the comprehensive plan. It doesn't affect Mr. Kilgore, it doesn't affect the county, and it doesn't affect it being a park today. It also allows, if there were to be a change in the law, a change in jurisdiction, whatever doesn't exist now could exist in the future. And if we go back to the original comprehensive plan, it would allow that to happen if it ever came to that point. That is why I want to put it back into the comprehensive plan.
The only possible point that I would make, and it's obviously it's up to council to dispense with it how you want, the only point I would make is that at some point we would have a question as things move forward for development of a park about the consistency of that with the comprehensive plan. So state code requires any time public development is done that it be found to be substantially in compliance with the comprehensive plan. So at some point in the future, we would need to address that. If that's the way council does. Now, if you leave it as public, semi-public, it is addressed. But if it changes back to commercial, at some point we will need to address that so that we can allow development to move forward as a park.
So, a question for you, Ms. McGovern. It cannot move forward as a park if we have it commercial?
The problem is, and the attorneys are welcome to jump in, but if you remember, every time we have done any kind of public facilities work, we go to the Planning Commission,
yes.
And they make a determination that thing that is a public use is substantially in accord with the adopted comprehensive plan. So at the point that something was being done on that property, we could end up with challenges in terms of ability to follow up with building permits or other permitting requirements that they would go through as they were developing it, because it would not be found to be substantially in compliance with our comprehensive plan. So typically what that means is you actually are noting, you know, this is the high school, you know, or it's public, semi-public, or you're doing something in your comprehensive plan to note the public facility.
So usually the locality, the Planning Commission sits in as the locality that owns the land, so that it may be a little different, and I don't know the plan of the park, and quite frankly, that's in the purview of the county, and until more is known, it's really up to their attorney to decide what they can do based on what, I mean, they have reported it, that it is an easement, it is designated to be a park. As far as, you know, if they need the site plan and things like that, more administrative, I think it could cause an administrative burden. I don't know that it would cause an absolute roadblock for a park. I mean, you know, there's a big difference between, you know, you all were talking about a pavilion versus a bird watching trail. You know, I don't know what they have planned, so.
So it could be a thing we would need to address in the future.
Mr. Vice Mayor, may I ask a question?
Yes.
Ms. Kemp, I guess, legal attorney, would reverting this back to commercial cause the county any heartburn as far as applying for grants? Would it affect the grants, or do you know?
That's a good question.
At this point, I would make a educated guess that, yes, it may become problematic.
Yes.
Because there would be a question as to whether or not the land could actually be used as a park.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Even though I'm presiding, I am a council member, even though I'm the vice mayor, so I do have a vote. So I'm concerned about the future. But I don't want to block the park, but I want to protect the future. It seems like we haven't been precise on any facts that much ever since it began. It's always been kind of this, kind of that. And we don't really know exactly what we're doing. You know, I don't want to do anything to stop Paul from getting his tax breaks, and I want to be able to have the town to receive that park. You know, but I don't want it to come back to haunt us in the future. So, attorney, I'm asking you exactly, explain us exactly how we will be affected if we leave it like it is, or if we move it to be commercial. We need to know facts exactly how both parties will be affected.
Well, I don't want to speak for Mr. Kilgore because I don't know his tax situation. If you leave it as it is, it's designated as semi-public or public use, which would be a park. So that is in line. And all of your zoning districts, with the exception of industrial parks, are allowed. So that lines up. If you were to change it back to commercial, it can't be developed. The easement is recorded, so it really can't be developed in a commercial way. So you're going to have sort of a disconnect from what your comprehensive plan is saying commercial, but in reality, it's not going to be able to develop for that purpose. Park is a legitimate use in the zoning district, so you don't have that conflict. So I think, as Ms. McGuffin was explaining, as they develop this park and kind of go down the road, administratively it could be different. Now, you all do, you know, you all look at your comp plan every 5 years, you review it, you make tweaks, you make changes. So I can't tell you exactly what your comprehensive plan is going to look like in the future. I can tell you that this particular easement has been reported, and they cannot develop it in a commercial manner. Does that at all answer your question?
I would like to get facts from the county attorney,
sure,
because I want to know everything I possibly know, because we may be about to vote on this,
sure,
and we want to know all the facts.
Yeah. Sure. Let me start by saying you're probably right at this point. There are not a lot of facts because there
take
are...
Take your time. I want you to know. Take your time and explain. No 3 minutes.
Yeah, okay. The reality is there are no definitive construction plans, ideas. This is all just going to be developing over time. Okay? We already know what we're going to do, and we're going to do it. We're going to develop it with the Parks and Rec Director, hopefully with input from the town. We're also going to be coordinating with the schools to see if we can work with them in possibly providing agricultural educational programs, those types of things. So it's a work in progress.
Now, having said that, and I think the concern about the future, you also have to remember that your comprehensive plan is your comprehensive plan. It's a fluid document. You can change it whenever you want. So if, for example, the golf course scenario shows up 30 years from now or whatever, and word gets out that the park property is being sold by the county to somebody for a for-profit operation or whatever the case may be, and you all don't want to see that at all, you can change your comprehensive plan at that point, and then that person is going to get stuck with the fact that whatever they want to do is not going to be in compliance with your comprehensive plan. So what all we're suggesting right now is, if you just leave it the way it is, we won't have any issues in terms of proceeding forward with the development of the park. But if at some point in the future some crazy thing happens, you still have the ability to change your comprehensive plan to limit any potential negative impacts that may have.
Could you explain to me why there would be some kind of conflict for you all to develop? I mean, the scenario of what the town was looking at was, you know, an amphitheater or a splash park. Well, all of those components, whatever the county decides to do.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that be limit? I don't understand what the limitation is, because my understanding is you have to work within the confinements of the easement agreement, not necessarily the zoning.
Right, but you're designating it. This is not a specific zoning. It's a designated area within the town that you want to see, as you're suggesting, commercial, right? And so the question, when we go in front of town council or the planning commission, or even try and come in and submit and obtain a permit for construction, someone here is going to be looking at the comprehensive plan and they're going to go, well, the comprehensive plan says business, they're talking about park, it doesn't match up. So then we're going to have an administrative disconnect, I guess is the best way to put it. And Kelly, you can chime in anytime you want, but then that will probably hinder any movement until that's worked out. So all we're asking is that you just leave it the way it is, and then there shouldn't be that disconnect, and things should be able to progress relatively straightforward without any administrative hiccups.
I do, but I don't. Are you finished with your line?
Maybe. I don't know. I'm still.
You have the floor.
You go right ahead.
I would like to. This is sort of off track, but I'll give you time for. It's regarding something in the easement. May I question the attorney about this easement? And something that's mentioned in here?
Yeah.
The conservation easement. I'm curious to know, this easement that we just received this afternoon, I read through it quickly, so bear with me. It's not like the easement that we were given originally. Things have changed. It doesn't sound like, and I know this is all subject to change, as you said, you go forward. Don't say anything about a splash park. I'm not sure about an amphitheater, all of that. But I'm curious, there is something here, it's under utilities and renewable energy facilities, public or private utilities within existing rights of way, therefore consistent with any recorded instrument granting such rights of way. Meaning public or private utilities and renewable energy facilities used to harness natural renewable energy sources such as sunlight, wind, water, biomass, to serve permitted buildings and structure on the property, 2, for public safety needs, and 3, for permitted activities on the property. Such limitations will not prohibit the sale of excess power generated incidentally in the operation of renewable energy facilities. And C, public or private utilities, including renewable energy facilities as described above, to be constructed in whole or in part to serve other properties, provided guarantee determines in its sole discretion that the construction and maintenance of such utilities or facilities will cause no impairment of the conservation values of the property and gives its prior written approval for such construction and maintenance. Approval of such construction and maintenance will take into consideration the visibility and any other possible adverse impacts such as utilities or facilities on the conservation values of the property. Grantor reserves its separate right to approve any public or private utilities. Does that include solar panels? And I'll follow up, has there been testings about solar panels and the use of it at this point in time on that property?
No. There's not been any discussion about using solar panels on the property.
What does that mean?
That I believe was intended to provide for the ability to put up solar panels like what you see on residential homes.
I know what they look like.
It powers the building. Now, if you also look in there, we can only have temporary structures, and those things that are on there permanently are relatively small. So it would be wasteful to develop something that's like, you know, some kind of massive solar farm. It doesn't make any economic sense.
So why would you need to have the Eagle sell it?
Well, these are all
they
things.
They won't prohibit the sale of excess power generated incidentally in the operation of renewable energy facilities. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
It's here.
Right.
This is what I have to look to. This document.
I understand. And that is absolutely true. It's in there. But again, there is no indication whatsoever that we have any intention to do that at this point. At least I'm not aware of any board of supervisor interest
in
doing
that. But it's allowed if it is, if people decide.
Under those terms.
Correct. And that's what I go to, my documents. Thank you.
I have one question. Voting to change it back to commercial would be a hindrance to you. The easement is already settled.
The easement and the tax credits are foregone conclusion.
Yes.
It's done.
So now, if we change it back to commercial, it's a hindrance to you.
It's just a hindrance towards in the development of the project.
Yes.
Whenever we get down to that to that point.
Right.
That's all that. It just puts a roadblock up that would have to be dealt with later down the road. That's all.
My name is Hugh Dietrich. I'm at 149 Locust Street in Amherst. And she stated that if there was excess energy generated, it could be sold. Who gets the money when they sell the electricity? Is that money going to go into the park? And if you're making solar panels, some solar panels do shed some product off of the panels over time that can contaminate the soil in small amounts. If you have well water, it can contaminate well water on the long run. But I don't know how much. I was curious if they're making solar energy, or wind power park, that's one thing. But if they're going to start, you know, making electricity and selling it to somebody else, that seems to be questionable in my mind. That's it.
I'll have the attorney to answer, Kenny.
Well, I mean, again, the conservation easement is already a recorded document, so everything that's already contained therein is not up for debate or discussion, I guess, at this point, right? It's just whether or not the county ever intends to take advantage of any particular provision therein. And I can tell you that the Board of Supervisors is not necessarily gung-ho about solar facilities.
Yeah.
As I'm sure you have read in the newspapers about recent requests for solar facilities. So, you know, I think that we have to keep that in mind too, is that the concept of a solar facility being placed on that property by the county itself is a little far-fetched. Now, but I also want to take a step back too. I want everybody here to understand, too, that as it stands right now, Mr. Kilgore is still the owner of the property. The county only has an interest in an easement. Okay, so we don't owe the fee simple underneath. We don't own the land. There is effort underway that at some point Mr. Kilgore's land will be gifted to the county, and then the county will be
both the owner of the land and the owner of the conservation easement. Okay, so as it stands right now, at this very moment, Mr. Kilgore is still the landowner. The county is the holder of the easement, and effectively our job under the easement is to act as the enforcer, right? We would tell Mr. Kilgore, you can't do that on your property because this easement says only these things can be done. Right? So that's where it stands right now, just from a purely technical perspective. Okay? If and when it gets deeded to the county, then the county is both the owner and enforcer against itself. Right? So we would have to just continue to follow what that easement says. Does that answer everybody's questions?
One more question, I think it was asked. If in fact this solar power is being able, whatever it is sold, who would benefit from those sales?
Whoever the owner of the property at the time is. Okay.
Thank you. It's sort of an educational.
Right.
It's not a pointing of fingers. I'm trying to learn because.
Totally understand. Yeah, I mean, it would be the owner of the facility, you know, whatever kind of facility that might be, right? So that's what.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yes, no problem.
So the council ready to vote?
Could you please state what we're voting for again?
There's a resolution that was included in your packet. The resolution returns the comprehensive plan designation for that area to its previous status with commercial.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
This is all right, man. Give me a moment. I want the park. I don't want to be negative, get in the way of it. Want to help the future, protect the future. No, I don't want to have a responsibility to vote one way or another.
I feel that we could change it at any time here, so I'm going to keep it the same.
So we go to the citizens' comments. Thank you. Mr. Martin.
My name is Steve Martin, and I own Martin's Paint and Body Shop. My wife and I have spoken at the September, October, and December town council meetings. Our comments can be heard through the audio version or watched on the YouTube link provided by the town website. Reading the minutes only states that we spoke, but not what we said. I would encourage all town residents to either come or watch what is happening in these meetings, because the decisions being made by the council are obviously not in the best interest of the people that elected them. Sorry. At the end of the December meeting, the mayor stated no businesses have been closed. That is incorrect. My zone B2 commercial rental at 513 South Main, which received multiple business permits from 2018 through July 1st, 2023, by the current town manager, is now closed to business. I am losing $1,200 a month plus paying for heat and water, so I've lost about $7,800 since August on my business rental. This is happening because 2003 paving ordinance that was not enforced by the last two town managers is now being enforced against our zone B2 rental properties. There are over 10 other non-conforming properties within the town, and several were given business permits by the town manager just like we were. Why am I being singled out? Why do I have to comply if the others do not? Shouldn't rules, laws, and ordinance be applied to everyone? I was told that it only applies to me because enforcement is complaint-based by the town manager. She also said if a complaint is made by a direct relative of a council and planning commission member, they're allowed to vote on that issue as long as that member did not file the complaint. Can anyone please name any other legal proceeding in which your accuser's family can be the judge or the jury deciding your fate? This is not fair. It is not impartial. It taints our local government, and it should cause every resident to scrutinize the decisions being made and ask who benefits. When 513 South Main was rented as a trucking company in July, everything was fine. But when Landon Coffee wanted to have a farm equipment and farm supply business in August, the complaint was filed. Who benefits? Not Landon. He can't open his business. Not me. I'm losing rent. Not the town. They don't receive any tax revenue. And not town residents. They currently don't have to pay personal property taxes because town businesses' tax rates are based on gross receipts. But without the business revenue, taxes will go up. So who benefits? Thank you.
Mr. Jerry Martin.
My name is Jerry Martin.
Jerry Martin.
That's all right. My name is Jerry Martin, and I am co-owner of Martin's Paint Body Shop. I also have questions. Apparently, it's fine for a council member to vote on a complaint filed by the direct relative. So let's say in the next council member election, my or our direct family member were to run and to get elected. And then I filed 90 ordinance complaints. My relative can vote on them. Great, I can't wait. However, if you say no, that's wrong, why aren't you saying it now? After initial plans were drawn up for the potential park, the council asked for them to be redone with double the amount of permeability surfacing. Obviously, impervious surfacing such as asphalt is bad for the environment. There are runoff dangers to creeks and streams, soil erosion issues, and hazards to drivers when excessive water runs downhill and enters roadways. Why did the council ask for less asphalt on that issue, but wants to enforce a 2003 ordinance against us that allows no permeability surfacing, only asphalt, concrete, brick, or paving stones? It sure seems like the businessmen that try to help the residents of Amherst the most get the short end of the stick. The 2003 ordinance is unclear in its definition of what is a display area versus what is parking and driveways, and how much of a property must be surfaced. Ordinances are being enforced without common sense of how it affects the landowner. If you were a zoned B2 property owner at our age, and you rented it for $1,200 a month, and the cost to asphalt was $64,000, would you pay it? You would be out $64,000 and not recoup that money for about 5 years. If you rented another property for $800 a month and the cost to asphalt it was $274,000, would you pay it? You would be out $274,000 and never live long enough to recoup it. These are bad investments. As more non-conforming businesses get complaints, they will either close or sell. Like us, who wins?
I'm having difficulty reading it. Is Mr. Robert Bill
Walker?
Excuse me.
Hi, I'm Robert Bill Walker, under 462 South Main Street, and I had a whole thing planned out, but after this meeting this evening, I'm winging this off the cuff. Council, do you have any idea how disconnected you sound? You're arguing over what you want to do with the property that you turned control of loose. Your no vote on the park, you have no right to say anything about it. You gave it away. Mr. Kilgore went to the county. It's out of your hands. You have no choice in the options here. You blew it. Period. That's all there is to it. While we're on that, Ms. Turner, I don't agree with your vote, but I do have to commend you. You are the only person that will give us a reason why you vote the way you do. I don't agree with a lot of what you do, but you do explain it. You do back yourself up, and for that, I do thank you. Mr. Higginbotham, Ms. Wheaton, you do not. You disgrace the chairs you sit in. Why do you not explain your actions, your votes? Do you guys think that us citizens do not understand that we won't be able to comprehend what you're thinking or why you're doing what you're doing? You're leaving it to us to just guess. You guys should probably just leave your seats in November. Just give them up, put them up. Let's get the whole council. We have three seats coming up. By the way, I'm also a council applicant. So I will be kind of going for your seat, Mr. This will be fun. We'll have a good time.
Not worried about.
I'm sure you will. We'll have a good time. But you guys really need to explain to us why you do what you do. I mean, do you think you're so good that you don't have to? That's the way we feel. That's the impression that you give us. Isn't this my turn, sir?
Yeah. Continue. You have a minute and 10 seconds.
Okay, go ahead. What were you about to say?
No, you continue because I'm going to shut you down in a minute.
Please do. You may shut me down within my 3 minutes. Yeah. Please do so. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
59 seconds.
Yeah, you may use it. Go for it. Okay, I'm not going to argue. I spoke my piece. Mm-hmm. My 3 minutes is up. What would you like to say, Mr. Higginbotham?
Wait till you tell me, or you sit down.
Yes, sir. Well, if you're going to address me directly, I would prefer to stand.
No. You do what I tell you to do. Sit down.
That's exactly what I'm talking about right there. That is exactly what I mean. You are compounding what I said, sir.
This is what I was going to say. Obviously, he didn't hear or didn't listen or didn't pay attention because I told him I didn't want to be a hindrance. That's explained. I didn't want to be a hindrance.
I'm talking last week's vote, not tonight.
I don't. You're finished.
Mr. Bill,
yes, ma'am. Yes.
You're
ma'am.
Finished.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. But that's what I'm talking about. And if you look back at the meeting, if you attended, I don't even remember seeing you, but if you attended, you'll see that from day one of the beginning of this discussion with the park, I've always maintained and said how I felt about it. And I've constantly told people I was against the easement. But this is what's happening within this town and county. Now, so many people are responding that have no information of what's going on. They're totally ignorant of what's going on. That's why they're behaving like they do. They don't have the facts because they're not listening. That's all I had to say. Thank you. Next person. Angela Sandra Murphy.
Pass. I already spoke. Thank you.
Okay. Sunny Sandra Murphy.
All right, good evening. I know it's going to take a long time to turn the ship around and make the town legal again, since the town didn't become non-conforming overnight. But in the meantime, I'd like to remind the council that good people continue to be hurt by the rules that do everything but serve the town and the residents as we exist today. Every town resident with a non-conforming property continues to be in danger of being reported at any moment for something that might violate a short list of things that you're allowed to do with a non-conforming property. And when these violations are reported, the real reason for filing the report many times has nothing to do with the non-conforming use and has everything to do with a personal grievance. There are many things that need to be addressed, but I'm hoping that the town will start by repealing the town's onerous paving law. So much of our town is currently non-conforming when it comes to this particular law. Our town zoning ordinance was repealed and replaced back in 2003, so that's the date that people keep citing. But we actually don't know how far back the paving requirement actually goes. Many people that currently believe that they're safe from being forced to pave may actually be in violation. And it's just a matter of time before they cross someone the wrong way. Make us legal as we are today. Adding more laws to try to define what is a driveway and what is not a driveway and what is a parking lot and what is not a parking lot is just going to make things worse. Laws are supposed to serve the community. Right now, our laws that make us all nonconforming are only serving serial complainers who make the productive members of our community want to leave. Maybe that's the goal of those few people who are filing all of the complaints. Thank you.
Amen.
At this time, we're focused on the consent agenda. I ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Is a request for an appropriation on a maintenance shop addition. Ms. Morgan?
Several months ago, we came before you to discuss the bids that we had put out for the maintenance shop. With this current budget, $100,000 was budgeted for the maintenance shop addition, and the bids came in above that. The bids that were also submitted didn't exactly agree with what we wanted, and we had rejected all bids because we had to accept what we had put in the invitation for bid, or we were going to go against procurement laws. Since then, I have reached out to a procurement representative for the state, and he advised that we try to go through state contract. There is a company called Gordian that would administer the state contract, and it would take us out of having to deal with the contract itself. It also gave us the ability to have a talk back and forth with the company that was submitting another bid for this project to get exactly what we want. Mr. Driscoll, Mr. Thompson, myself, and Ms. McGuffin all met at the maintenance shop with a representative from Gordian and a representative from the contractor, and they resubmitted a bid, and the bid that came in was at roughly $156,000, which was in line with what our original bids were when we sent out the invitation for bids. It's our recommendation, because it's going to be an easy fix of going back and forth to get exactly what we want, that we go the state contract route and we accept this contract. So at this time, I'm asking for permission to go ahead with this route, as well as an appropriation for $60,000, since this is over what our original budget amount for the maintenance shop is. So that's my request tonight.
Could I have a motion for an appropriation of the funds?
Second.
Discussion?
I do have one question. At the last meeting, we talked about how you wanted to go back out to bid.
Mm-hmm.
There was information, you gathered information that saw that you wanted to hold off and go back. I just want to make sure that are the maintenance people going to get what they need and what they want by going this route? I want to make sure that they get what they need. And so I know there was a pause.
Mm-hmm. So the reason we didn't go back out for bid is because that was technically put us in the same position of having to accept what was submitted and that not being what we wanted.
Okay.
So by going this route, we're able to have that discussion if what they submit to us is not exactly what we want.
Back to
yes.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
I'd like to make a comment. Thank you for doing this.
You are.
I know this was sort of back before. And Mr. Driscoll, I'd like to thank you for helping out with the design and the architecture of making it happen.
Now we have a vote at this time.
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Next up, council, is request appropriation for your water withdrawal permit. We have not gotten a finalized number from DEQ on what the permit cost is. I'm asking for appropriation of $10,000, which is what we have been told in the past it was going to be. The reason I want to go ahead and get the funds appropriated, even though I can't swear that this is the precise amount, is really because because at the point that they tell us they're willing to accept our application and this is the amount, I want to submit it immediately, and I don't want there to be a delay. You know, it's just in our best interest, I think, to move the process along as quickly as possible. So we're just asking for appropriation of $10,000 for what we are estimating the fee will be.
Well, this is a has to be, so I'll make that motion.
I second.
No, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know I'm all about water.
Yes.
So I'm concerned that is, do you feel like $10,000 is equal, or do you really think I'm thinking it's going to come in higher.
It could come in higher. They have not told us what the amount is, which it seems crazy to me. It seems like this would be a really straightforward thing. It's a 15-year permit. This is what your amount is, but they have not told us that.
Okay, so how does that look if you are going to want to submit that application immediately and you only have $10,000 appropriated and it's 12, 15, or other? Are you going to come back to us, or is there going to be a delay?
I think what I'm going to do at that point is transfer money from my contingency fund.
Okay.
At that point, I feel like I'll be able to make up the debt.
I just feel like $10,000 is going to be low.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We vote.
Aye.
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 Okay.
Yes. We're going to matter from staff now.
I provided each of you a end of year report, so you guys can take a look at that. And it shows all our accomplishments for the year and everything that's been piled. So it was a really good year, and we're happy to provide those to you so you guys can see what all we've done.
Most impressive. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Mrs. Morgan?
Mm-hmm.
No. Captain?
Dr. Brown did stop in, and he didn't want to wait around, but he wanted to apologize for being late, and wanted to thank y'all for y'all's acceptance.
Back in the back
of
what our
plant staff, I can't even see them back there.
No.
Okay. No. Citizens' comments? Mm-hmm. Mr. Fred Lovin.
Yes, I'm the archivist at the Amherst Fire Department. I maintain a rather large, collection of photographs, documents, and artifacts, as well as a miniature museum at the fire station. And this past December marked 60 years that we went across the street into the present building from the old building, which is now the haircutting place. And to mark this occasion, I promised the town manager that I would provide her with copies of the fire station on Second Street, which was built by the town to house both the fire department as well as the town office. When the Masonic Lodge requested that they get their lot back that we borrowed from them on Main Street. And the second, the one standing, the image of the man standing, that is not the fire chief. That is, in fact, a town employee named Bill Ganaway, which I'm sure a lot of you remember. He was the Welby Bailey of his day. He did absolutely everything for the town. He read the meters. He collected the garbage. He worked on the pumps and the water system. He collected fees at the town office. And I got a chuckle at that uniform that he's wearing. He's wearing like riding boots and riding breeches, like something of some like General Patton might wear, and a British, something that looks like a British commando sweater, as well as his uniform hat. And as far as I know, he may have actually read the meters on horseback for the reason for that attire. And I want to do this in appreciation for of the town manager's predecessor, Jack Hobbs. When I was researching the 100th anniversary of the fire department, the times that I had gaps in my minutes, I was allowed unlimited access to town council minutes that filled in these gaps. So there is your artwork, and the town manager has promised that they will be displayed appropriately.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lennon. May I say something before Mr. Lennon?
Yes.
Excuse me, Mr. Lennon, I would like to tell everyone I was lucky enough to have a tour of the fire department for your work regarding the collection of the history of the fire department and the town. And I would recommend anyone go see it if you would allow them to see your work and the displays. It was most interesting.
Absolutely.
And several of my friends are on, you know, have passed on, and you recognize them. And I thank you for all that you've done to archive this information. Appreciate
Thank you, ma'am.
For the town and person.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we have matters from the town council.
Not tonight. Thank you.
I have two questions. Number one, the most important being that last month I was visibly upset. I was dazed at the outcome of the vote, and quite frankly, just sort of lost my mind. So I confronted him this week in public. I should not have done that. I've apologized in private, but here's my apology in public.
Thank you.
Thank you. Second thing. I have been receiving complaints on Sunset Drive about speeding. Not recently, but I have received them from Ms. Turner's mother. Mr. Roy Mayo has been complaining, and some other people. Mr. Mayo has asked that the town would request VDOT to consider lowering the speed limit to 25. And his thinking is this. If it's posted currently at 35, people running 45 and 50. But he's thinking if it's posted at 25, they'll run 35. So I'm asking on behalf of myself, because I see it too, that the town requests that VDOT consider lowering that 25 miles an hour on Sunset Drive, if council would concur with that. That's all I have.
Mrs. Turner?
I could say nothing. But I'm not. I just want to take a minute to say thank you for coming. We may not always agree, but I want to welcome you to not only come to meetings, but to call me, to come by the shop. Whether you are on the same side or on a different issue, I am more than welcome to have a conversation with you and to give you my position or to listen to yours. You might actually change mine. But I've been in this town a long time, and I love this town, and I want to do what's right for this town. So I understand that the citizens and even the community have been frustrated with some of our votes, but they are very well considered. I consider every situation and every vote and everything that I have to decide, not on a whim, and it's always, for me, not a no-brainer. I spend hours researching. I spend hours reading to educate myself, not only what the town manager might give us or citizens might talk about. I do my own research. So I don't come to these votes lightly. I take them under much consideration. So if you are unhappy with how I have voted, come see me. Come talk to me. I'm happy to have those conversations. But I do want the citizens to know that I know that most of you think that it's a majority. That's not true. It's a divided town. There are many in this town that want change. There are many in this town that don't want change. And I think I'm a good bridge to bring those changes forward in a responsible way, both for what the town's going to be responsible for and liable versus financial. And so I am happy to have conversations with any of you. Please, you're always welcome. Thank you.
Mr. Dredge.
I went to the board meeting last night, and just a few comments. Ms. Wheaton, it's amazing how fast the county can react. Mr. Higginbotham, you voted down a park for us due to cultural concerns. If the county is going to make this into a park, I expect you to try those cultural concerns with county. See how far they go. In particular, I would like to hear how different cultures do different things at a park. That's your direct comment. I have tried and tried to get my arms around that, and I just can't.
Would you like me to explain it to you?
At your time.
I'm ready now.
Ms. Turner, basically, you are concerned about 50 years from now. The easement is still on the property. We just have no control of it. We lost control of that particular piece of property. Just on the humorous side, the county is looking at it also as being a potential adjunct to the high school. So what if the auto shop wants to have a, how do you change an engine under an oak tree? That could be going on right there on that property. Or for whatever his home economics classes they are now, how to hang up laundry. You know, that's what we could be looking at instead of our park. Basically, I think we refused a free Cadillac so that we could hitchhike. We don't have control of it anymore. That's all.
Now it's my time. Thank you, Lord. I've been waiting for this. First, answer your question about the cultural differences. That wasn't my reason for not wanting this park there. It was easement. And I brought it up that if we do develop a park, we should consider every culture that's in this town. Everyone should be reflected in the park that everybody has to pay for. You cannot design a park just for a soccer moms and the toddlers and a $100,000 park for the dogs to boo-boo in. You have to design a park for that reflects everyone in the town. I'll give you a great example. Lynchburg knows how to do it. I go down to Peaks View. Multiculturals are down there. Spanish loves soccer courts. They have soccer courts. A lot of the black guys like to play basketball. They have basketball courts. A lot of the families like to bring their children out to play on the little rides, the little exercise rides and stuff. And a lot of the young professionals like to come down and play frisbee golf. They designed their park for everybody, but I saw us leaning in the direction that we were only thinking about designing a park for a very small group of people in this town, and yet and still you want everybody to pay for it. And I just wanted to remind the town to develop a park that everybody will be able to enjoy and want to come to. That's all I was saying right there. Let your park reflect the people that live in the town, because they are the people that are going to have to pay for it. And far as the park now, you're talking about catching a ride. Well, I think you should look at this like this. The town, the no votes kept the town from having to pay for a park, but we still have a park now for free. This is a win-win. The county have the park that they want. The town have a park.
Mr. Kilgore get their tax benefits, they getting paid. It's a win-win for everybody, but guess what? The town people don't have to pay for it. And we had discussed, we had threw around that the town gonna have to raise taxes. The town's gonna create a tax. We don't have to raise tax to pay for a park anymore. We don't even have to engage in that. I think the town people should be happy that we still have a park that we don't have to pay for. We don't have to jack the taxes up in this town. It's not a burden to anybody, but we all can go and enjoy it. I think that's a win-win. And be honest with you, I was just totally amazed that the county took it. They had to pay for it. We don't. But we can enjoy it. Now I'm finished with that. I just want to go now to the point where I want to thank the chief of police for doing a great job this year. And every year since he's been here, he's done a great job. He's improved in every area of that department. And I just want to say thank you. We recognize it and we appreciate you. And our guys back there, y'all are awesome. Y'all are awesome. Hey, just raise your hand, y'all too. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, they're awesome. We have a great group of people working for us in this town, and they're doing a great job. I don't know about this council now. I'm just kidding. The council is doing good too. I'm just saying thanks for everybody, and I want to thank the citizens that show interest in the town, whether they agree with me or not. At least you come and show interest, and you listen, and you listen, and you keep up with the town. You know that we stated why we vote like we do, because we've been doing it for 3-4 months now. But for some to come and say, "Well, you know what they're saying, why you vote?" I'm thinking, where have these people been? For 3-4 months, we've been constantly saying, I'm against the easement. That's why I voted like I am. I'm constantly against the easement. Then he never said anything. Unbelievable. But I just want to say thanks to everybody for just showing up and being part of this town. Whether you're with me or not, I'm glad to see you here and caring about the town. I have a real problem with the people of the town that don't show up, never do anything, and want to tell us what to do. You all are coming and showing your interest in the town, and I do want to say thank you. I love you all. I'm being honest with you. Love you all, and thank you for coming. I'm finished.
Would it be appropriate for us to include what I was speaking about on the agenda next month?
I'll bring that up with the mayor.
Okay.
Okay. Are we ready to do that?
It's okay. Ask for motion.
Well, I can look at them and tell they don't want to go home, but. Could I have a motion to adjourn?
I make that motion.
I'll second it.
Second it. Thank you.
Aye. Get a bigger room, more people.
Yes, sir.